after years of lying to her, I am finally going to take my mother to the Beltliner tomorrow for breakfast. You still don't have a burrito, do you?
You never know. That could be our Blue Plate special tomorrow.
It could be. It could be.
It could be. Keep up the faith. I know.
Okay.
I could put a word in if you'd like.
I don't know. I don't ask. You know me. I don't know. I'm not one of your friends that begs for favors. I don't ask for freebies or anything like that. I just want to go and, you know, at some point, and if you could call it the Robberito, that would be great. That would be true.
I know. That's genius marketing, and you know,
yeah. Yes.
We're on it.
Genius.
We're on it, but it just
yes.
takes, it could take
years
to perfect.
You as a wordsmith should know better the term genius. Like, I'm not sure that's exactly the qualification for it.
Speaking of
genius, though, I'll give you an example because you and I were texting about this yesterday. Tell me, is there a better value for your fundraising dollar in all of our province than what is going to happen on August 23rd in Innisfail?
That was a great interview you had with Brian Sutter. My favorite point was when he gave the entire city his phone number.
Yep.
On the air. I just thought that was fantastic. And I it's funny because I texted him right afterwards, and I couldn't believe he was leaving his number. And I checked to see if it was the number I've had forever for him, and it's the same number, so he wasn't lying.
Yep.
And I texted him right away to say, hey, great to hear your voice on the radio. I'm definitely going to be in Innisfail for the I didn't know about it until I heard the interview, so it was great because I'm going for sure.
Yeah.
And for $40 a ticket, like, what a deal for the Innisfail Eagles, their sportsman's dinner. And And then I sent him a big, long text, and then I sent you a text saying, hey, is there any chance that Brian doesn't text? And you confirmed my belief, which is that he still has a flip phone.
Still has I would say predates the Motorola Razr or anything like that. I honestly, I think if you looked at the pad, all it has is numbers. It's not one of those with the numbers and the three letters underneath it that you fought and you hunted and you pecked. No, you're not going to text Brian Sutter.
So I won't anxiously await his return of text, but I left him a voicemail just about an hour ago to let him know can't wait to see him and be part of that whole event. That is for fundraising dollar, bang for the buck. Yeah, Berkey will be there, and Glenn Hall, Gord Bamford. The list you gave yesterday was, that's
and he keeps adding to it. And he keeps adding to it. That's the thing.
Well,
like, I'm not sure he understands how this works. You can't keep bringing guests or speakers because you run out of seats for guests.
Yeah, yeah. It cuts into your $40 a pop take.
Yeah.
But honestly, and you could speak to this as better than anybody, going to a sportsman's dinner in a small town, it is like,
it's community. It's community. It's community. And you know the ones I like the best? Where y'all, okay, good night, everybody. You know, if you need a ride home, ask us, we'll call you a taxi, and we all pick up the chairs together. And then we all pick up the chairs together. That to me, then you know you're there. And we do some great ones here in the city, and they're fantastic. And I love the ones we did at the Beltliner that you did, I should say, early on in the year. And I hope we're going to get back to that. But you go to a place like Innisfail, and it's just different. Because you heard Brian, he said, make sure you get a room. And that's true. Because whatever the formal part will end, we know that. But then it's going to go and go and go and go. And that's the best part. That's always the best part. Then you clean up, and then everybody goes home.
It's so true. And I know that from those hot stoves that we did at the Beltliner, the real fun begins after we get off stage and lock the door and have a just swap even more stories. So, hey, good on you for having them on, because if there are empty seats or tickets that are unsold, I'm sure that your interview with him took care of that, because anyone in Central Alberta was listening has got to clear their schedule for the 23rd to go out and see that entertainment. So good on you for getting involved, and I will be down there for sure, because that is a slice of Canadiana that I can't wait to see.
The main event, you and I both know the main event, and Brian didn't put himself on that list, but I know Brian, he might be sitting at the front table. He will get involved. The main event will be some sort of exchange or storytelling between Berkey and Brian Sutter. You know it, and I know it. We all need to know it.
Yeah.
Right?
And then that's what people are expecting. They're hoping for it. They're expecting. You know they'll get that.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, when you load the place up with as many, you know, entertaining characters, too, as he has, the best moment might be a complete surprise as to where it's going to come from. But anyway, you have to shell out your $40 to find out what it's going to be.
let's talk tennis. Holy cow. Holy cow. What did we watch last night as a Canadian or a Canadian sports fan? What was that?
That's pretty memorable stuff. And, you know, if you didn't know that the Rogers Cup was going on, you probably do now because of the incredible effort from the Canadian kid, Shapovalov. And if he wasn't Canadian, we probably wouldn't be talking about it. We'd just say, oh, yeah, somebody upset Rafa Nadal.
Right.
But because he's Canadian, because he won Junior Wimbledon, because he's got a bit of a, I don't want to say checkered past, but he had a very unfortunate incident. Yeah, he made a mistake. Because of all those different things, this guy could be quite a compelling figure on the Canadian landscape for a number of years because of all those things that we just mentioned. He's not faring very well right now. I've been watching it since the start of the match. He's down 4-love to Mannarino. He's battling, but anyway, this will teach him, too, that, you know, as big a win as that is, there's always the next day. I mean, it never ends at a tennis tournament. You can shock whoever you want, but the very next day, if you're not on your toes, someone's going to shock you back. So, but the fact that he's 18 and he's got, you know, he just won now. He's down 4-1, so good for him. But, yeah, what a great story. When was the last time we had a great tennis story in this country with a good young tennis? Oh, wait, we had that.
We had it.
She didn't work out too well. But
yeah.
we don't give up on her yet. But she sure isn't. She disappoints us at a number of different turns, does she not? It's not just that she's not playing well. She's not representing herself and our country very well, in my opinion, these days either.
But let me turn this around just a little bit. And we had Robert Bettauer on earlier. We're going to replay that conversation. And you could tell he was tired of talking about it. But he got to the same point. Look. What she said on Tuesday, we're talking about Jeannie Bouchard. She got bounced out of the tournament. She did the media thing afterwards, and she said somebody else can carry the burden of this country. And, you know, I was kind of in a way, Eric, I was kind of happy to hear it, and this is why. Because clearly that is what's bothering her. It's not necessarily something in her game or something like that or a chronic injury. She's not handling the pressure. She's 22, 23 years old. She's, for all intents and purposes, a young adult, and I've got one of those, and I know the pressures they go through. And Bettauer said the same thing. There is nothing to suggest that if she can't just find inner peace and take a break and come back and refresh, that she can't be the player we all thought she was going to be. And I took, she shouldn't have said it, and I know it angers a lot of people, but in a way, because she said it, I go, okay, that's what's bugging her. Okay. She's having, you know, the social media is a conversation. All of these distractions, and that's what they are, distractions. She just needs to find the right guru. She just needs to find the right yogi. She just needs to find that person that clears her headspace.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, don't kid yourself. You and I both know she's surrounded by a lot of different people, and maybe sometimes that's part of the problem, right? A lot of noise around you.
Yeah.
And you need just that one voice to get through it all. And usually it's that person's parents, right? And I'm not blaming her parents. I mean,
No. This is not uncommon.
Yeah. No, this is uncharted waters for the whole family and for Tennis Canada and for this young lady. And but yeah, it's not been going well. And that statement just, which we want so bad for her to turn things around. But when she says things like that, you know, you lose a lot of fans. And hey, she just lost in her home country at a tournament that she'd probably like to win more than any other tournament.
Absolutely.
If she was to be honest about it. And she's frustrated. And someone put a very pointed question at her about, you know, is she disappointing Canadians? And that's not what you want to hear after a tough loss either. So I get it. She's human. But we always want our athletes to be perfect. And she didn't answer that question perfectly.
Let me throw this one back at you. And we kind of talked a little bit about it today. And it's more of a barroom sports bar conversation. I mean, ideally you want everything, but Is it better for us as a tennis nation to have one breakthrough and win a major, or is it better to have two or three or four athletes in the sport that any given week could be making noise? Because potentially we have that with Pospisil, Raonic, Dennis, all, you know, on the men's side now. I mean, he's 18. Raonic, is, if he gets healthy, he's always a danger. Pospisil's had his moments, maybe, but it just seems to me that you remember what it was like in the 70s and 80s. We might have a plucky young lady on the might win a match or something like that. Daniel Nestor, God love him, a doubles legend. But it seems to me like we have the potential for something we've never had in this country when it comes to that sport.
Yeah, it's funny because when you mentioned, you know, is it better to have, you know, one, you know, megastar who rises up, wins once, and then that's it? Or is it better to have a little bit of depth? I thought you were going to point to the Canadian golf scene, because that's kind of what we have on the men's
right
side in the Canadian golf scene, right? And we've seen, you know, Hadwin and different guys could step up and win these things. Mackenzie Hughes, like, that's where we're at with the golf, and it's far more entertaining and better to see these different guys. Oh, this week Hearn is back in the picture. Oh, this week it's Dillette. And as opposed to just having, you know, like Jeannie and, you know, by herself, and then she flops out, and then there's really no intrigue for a Canadian to watch the rest of the tournament. You know, what's great about what Shapovalov's doing is he's down 5-1 now, but what's great about him, what's great about what he did yesterday, too, you know, he's the youngest person ever to get to the quarterfinals of an ATP tournament. Like, that's just straight up. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah. Well, and the youngest, and how about this one? The youngest in ever to qualify, make the qualifiers at a Rogers Cup since 74 in Bjorn Borg. How about that one?
I mean, that's a pretty good company, right?
Yeah.
And Roger Federer, I mean, there's no better spokesman maybe in all of sports than Roger Federer.
Right.
And he is glowing about this story.
Yep.
Even though his buddy Rafa, you know, lost, and that eliminates the possibility of a showdown between those two in the final that everyone was hoping for. But he was just going on and on and on about how great a story it was. And I just think that's incredible, too, that, you know, Federer, who might go down in history as the greatest player of all time, he is in my books anyway, is sitting here. He recognizes the local angle here and how great it is for tennis in this locale, in this country. And for him to stand in front of the podium and have this big grin on his face and talk about how great it is for the sport that he loves so much, that's just another cool part of this story.
Yeah, and I just kind of talked about it when we did the Pump Out the Truth segment in the last little bit, and you've been there. You know, tennis is growing in this country. It's growing here in Calgary. It's a going concern, and that's positive. I mean, you know, we talk about the growth of golf, and we've certainly seen a growth of basketball. You know, women's soccer's taking off. I mean, God knows I love my hockey, but I also want some diversity, and I'm just really upset. And I hope that kids pick it up. Eric, I hope that kids, you know, most of our communities have a neighborhood tennis court. I hope that, you know, whoever, Bouchard, Shapovalov, whoever, kind of inspires a kid to pick up a racket.
Well, you and I both just want kids to get off the couch
Absolutely.
And do stuff, right? I mean, tennis or golf. I grew up, my life, I played more tennis than any other sport, that and hockey. And so I've had a love affair with the game of tennis forever. It did die there for a lot of years. I always blame Sampras for that. Sampras and the fancy new rackets, the graphite racket, you know, the oversized rackets.
Sure.
The combination was killer. It was just serve and volley, point over. You know, now we're back to more great rallies, and the sport's as entertaining as it's ever been. Well, I wouldn't say ever. I think the heyday was in the 80s and stuff with Lendl and McEnroe and Connors and these guys. I mean, but that's how I look at it. But
right.
It's such a great sport. Like, it is such a great sport. And I play it 3-4 times a week. Still to this day, at my advanced age, and even though singles now to me is a little much, I live for the doubles, and then you go up for beer afterwards. It's a great sport. It's too bad that it really disappeared off the grid, you know, in North America for a lot of years. But yeah, Jeannie Bouchard, Shapovalova, like this event right now, these are all going to make strides in making sure that those neighborhood tennis courts are just a little bit busier, and even more and more kids will get that bug that I used to have when I was a kid.
You just said something, and I got to double back, and this is from that pulled right from that sports bar conversation routine. You kind of double-clutched when you said about, you know, the best. I think the athletes are the best. I think the depth is maybe as good as it's been. But it's not the 80s. It's not McEnroe. It's, you know, it's not, you know, that era. And I bring up McEnroe on purpose because, in a way, technology took something out of tennis.
I know exactly. I 100% agree.
Right? 100% agree. And this is the CFL coaches' challenge. This is the NFL. This is NHL. This is everything. Look at tennis. That Hawkeye system is flawless. It is flawless. But what it took out of the game was emotion. And somebody's going to be listening and going, of all people, Rob, shame on you because, you know, sportsmanship's important. And there was a lack of it because of it. But there was a fire, there was an emotion in that sport at that time that I think does not allow this era to necessarily match it for the entertainment.
I agree. And you nailed it because we're not supposed to sit here and celebrate bad sportsmanship. We're not supposed to... you know, the kind of antics that John McEnroe was famous for authoring, that's not something that should be celebrated or kids should even be watching. But, this is all about entertainment.
Absolutely.
And, man, he was so damn entertaining. You didn't know when he was going to lose his mind, but he was going to lose his mind. If he was losing the match, he was going to lose his mind at some point. And that was damn entertaining. Yep. Nowadays, you don't have any conflict. In baseball, you still have a little bit where the guy comes out to argue. But for the most part, again, technology takes that out of your hands because no sense in arguing. Let's just look at the replay and we'll see right away who's right and who's wrong. I miss those days. I love those days. And, you know, lately in the last, three, 4 years, we've had some phenomenal with the top three, four guys in the with Andy Murray kind of joining that group of the elite players.
Sure.
We've had some of those five-hour matches that are for the ages. And I've loved every minute of, you know, Australian Open, whatever it is. But it still doesn't compare to me to those Ivan Lendl, McEnroe, Connors. Man, there was so much emotion. You're right. These guys are more robots now more than ever. Not just because of the technology, but because of all the coaching and they're growing up, you know, they have to contain their emotions. You know, back then, it was like a street fight is what it was. And they played tennis in between. Yeah. It was awesome. The best book I've ever read is John McEnroe's book, written by a Pulitzer Prize winning author. It's brilliantly written. It's just raw. It's open. I recommend it. If anyone's still looking for some summer reading, I think it's called You've Got to Be Serious or You Can't Be Serious. And it's just so good. It's the best book I've ever read. And, in there, he just talks. I mean, there was genuine hatred, and he talks about some of the Ely Nastasi. I mean, there was another guy who was a complete nut bar.
there's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Like he was a legend.
Yeah,
and I love that guy, and I would love to read a book about his life because he was even more of a rock star. The legendary stories John McEnroe and Connors tell about how this guy was just a great womanizer of their time but also a superstar athlete. Anyway, I'm rambling here, but I think these guys just have some great stories and tennis books are my favorite ones to read.
But what it speaks to, and again, here we are, you know, just an acknowledgement along the road of life that, you know, you and I grew up in an era, and a lot of our listeners grew up in an era where tennis, I won't say this tennis doesn't matter because we're talking about it, and it's important because now we got a rooting interest as Canadians. But back then, there was no Canadian rooting interest, but you had to watch it because you didn't know what was going to happen. You had to watch the heavyweight champion. You had to watch the Kentucky Derby. It's a bygone era, right? Tennis has transcended that better than those other two sports. I'll grant you that. But for a lot of us, we'll always put a little asterisk going, these are great athletes. It's fantastic in this era. But, man, a meltdown once and again. Somebody going a mano-a-mano with a chair umpire. I just miss it. And I shouldn't, but I do.
And on the other hand, here we are we are the first to point out the unfortunate incident that Shapovalov was involved in when he smacked that ball out of anger. Broke the orbital bone under the eye of the chair umpire and was immediately disqualified from the game and thus Canada from the Davis Cup. That was just last year. And you know, I think the urge right away is for everyone to go and Google that, and they want to go see that. It's ridiculous.
But that's not
odd.
But that wasn't Mac. That wasn't what we're talking about, though, right?
No, that was unfortunate. I mean, but it was anger.
That was unfortunate. It was anger, but it was unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
And so, you know, but we like it when they're yelling at the umpires and everything like that. It's funny. I just booked tickets. I've never been to the U.S. Open tennis tournament. And
okay.
And I just bought tickets last night. A friend of mine are going. And I've never, you know, I've covered Davis Cup in Calgary when it comes there, and I've covered some Olympic tennis and some other things, but I just never been to one of the, you know, the Grand Slams, and I don't know if it's going to translate when I'm sitting up in the top row, you know, at the Arthur Ashe Stadium, or will it? Like, I'm fascinated to find out to see that speed and those names.
Here's what I know about you. One of your famous lines on this station, I asked you a golf question one day, and you said, I'm used to walking in crowds of 150,000 to watch golf. I think you're going to be okay because it's a major. I think you're going to be okay because it's an event. I think this is the U.S. Open, dude. You're going to lap it up. You're going to lap it up. You love big events. You love being at big events. It's a big event. I think you're going to love it.
Yeah, I do. And I'll be there as a fan, too, which makes it even better. So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And then watching this tournament here just kind of gets the juices flowing for that. And you want to make sure you're hoping all the major guys are going to be healthy. And, you know, I'm going to the men's semifinals. And so you hope you get a couple good matches, right, with big names and all that. But, hey, if it was a Shapovalov, boy, wouldn't that be something. I mean, but, you know, it's not going to happen. But he's actually playing horrifically right now. And you know
what?
I
just lost the... Yeah, he just lost the first set 6-2.
Also, just I think before we go, I want to mention that I know you've been, and good on you for giving it the love that it deserves. You know, Wes Gilbertson's been doing a great job at the ATV Classic, and the story of it's Kyle Miller, is that correct? Yeah, it's Kyle Miller.
That's right.
The young man with cerebral palsy, he was given a sponsor's exemption to get into the tournament, made history by playing at that level of golf. Despite his, you know, what he's battling through. And he just finished. He shot 101 yesterday and 88 today. And he'll finish last by 20, 30 strokes. And that, of course, is not the point at all. I know Wes played with him last week, and he shot 77, and he was fantastic. And so it's not like it's not like this was just a circus sideshow and they let him in even though he's a 20 handicap. The guy's got game. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on him, a lot of nerves, and, you know, in his hometown to do that. But you talk about great moments in sports, and what Shapovalov did yesterday is a cool one.
Yep.
What this kid did, you know, under the relative quiet, serene setting in Calgary at the ATB Financial, like, it deserves every bit as much due because it's a pretty incredible story that a kid with cerebral palsy could go and tee it up and have the courage to get to that level to play in that tournament. He didn't fare as well as he wanted to. Apparently, he went up to one of the organizers and apologized, and the guy said, are you kidding me? You have nothing to apologize for. You know, you were out here, and I guess on the first tee yesterday, when he teed off, there were other kids, you know, other handicapped kids. I shouldn't say other, but there were handicapped kids on the first tee watching him, and what an inspiration he would have been to them. So hats off to Kyle Miller, and also hats off to the organizers of that tournament for recognizing that's the biggest story that'll come out of that tournament maybe ever. And some people would think that that's ridiculous. I would say no. It's all about entertainment. And, man, how entertaining is it to hear that a guy could live out his dream like that? It's pretty cool.
Well, I'll say this. We started off this segment by talking about the allure of small-town sportsman's dinner, and we'll end with what makes this city great. And it's a Calgary story. And that's what happens in this city. These things happen. And I'm absolutely right there. We brought it up yesterday. We got the wins and the losses. And, it'd be great to yell at a chair umpire every once in a while. But every once in a while, you also have to have your heartstrings pulled at. And what this kid's gone through and what he's done to get to this point, it's awesome. And I'm glad it happened here. I'm glad it happened.
Yeah, it's totally cool. I want to see if I can get the kid to come out to the Pizza Pig out. Hey, Bo Levi came out to Sylvan Lake just to tell me that he's coming to the Pizza Pig out.
I saw him, that in his
I was with him
in his Tommy Bahama outfit.
Yeah, right? Number 12 or whatever. He's got the whole collection, right?
He has the whole collection. Well, since you brought it up, tickets are on sale now, right?
Yep, tickets are on sale. You get the early bird special. It's $35. That's, you know, have your way with over 700 slices or 700 pizzas on October 18th at Cowboys. We're doing it to raise money for Kids Sport Calgary, of course, and the You Can Play project. And it'll be a venerable who's who of Calgary sports scene. Rub shoulders with basically anybody you ever wanted to meet in the Calgary sports scene, including yourself. And Brian Burke will be there, and Bo Levi, Kelly Rudy. I mean, the list goes on every year. And,
the list goes on. But
it's a ton of fun. More than anything else, it's really healthy. Really healthy for you. Just eating that much pizza is good for the soul.
You lose weight. For whatever reason, you lose weight at the Pizza Pig Out every year. That's how it works. We don't know how. It's science. You don't argue with science.
Well, that's the reward for helping charity.
You magically lose weight. Well, thank you, sir. Fun as always. I eagerly await the blue plate special tomorrow.
Yes, thank you for your patronage, and I hope you enjoy your meal there at the Bellliner.
I will. I know who to call if I don't.
Yeah, I know. I'll hear it, but okay. Cheers, buddy. Have a good weekend.
See you, pal. Bye-bye. He's Eric Francis, and I've yet to have a bad meal at the Beltliner. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, waffles, pie, and bourbon. Check them out in the Beltline, 12th Avenue and 2nd Street, Southwest.